great future. We're talking real money.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another hour of a program that we fervently hope will help you become the best possible investor you can be. And being a great investor, this is so easy. It's just too easy. You can be a really great investor with some simple, straightforward, easy to follow guides, plans, ideas, concepts. It's so much easier than you think. It really is. What most people pass off as investing is really something more akin to gambling. So give us a call, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Before you find yourself doing something that may sound really good, but turns out really bad.
Okay to overeat, don't overspend.
Don't
That was an easy one, right? Okay.
They're coming out of the, at the end of the year, they come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The financial people trying to make their year-end numbers. You'll be inundated with stockbrokers and insurance agents all trying to pitch you on a retirement in a vehicle of some kind, on some hot new investment, on some scheme to take you out of this and put you in this. Be so careful. Here's one of the things. This is a tip that everybody should follow.
Okay.
If your stockbroker calls you and says, you know, I think it's a good time to get out of XYZ fund and over into ABC fund, don't. Because it's commission-making time.
Good point.
That's what they're doing. Yeah. They're moving your money. It's called churning. And it can be illegal, but it's really hard to prove. Because they could say, oh, no, I truly believe that, that moving from the small-cap value into large-cap growth was the right move. Yeah,
lost a lot of money. Got to get out of that. That's a dog.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not all
part
about
of a strategy.
Feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
It's not anything resembling
to the
strategy.
The telephone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was singing. Yeah. Yes, let's do that. 855-935-TALK is the number. And Mike, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. Good morning. Tom and I had talked a couple weeks ago up in your office, and paranoias was that the sooner or later the index funds were so great that somebody was going to start clamping down on them. And John Bogle wrote an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal that I thought you would be interested in, and I was wondering what your comments were. It sounds like that exact thing may be going to happen, is that they're going to, because they're controlling the markets, they're going to try to clamp down on them or regulate them.
Do
or something
of that
nature. And I just wondered what your comments were.
Don, you can go first on this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Jack, as much as I admire him, I think he's been wrong about several things. Mm-hmm. One, he's always been a proponent of investing only in the U.S. He's always been a proponent of investing only in the S&P, or he was the S&P 500 initially. Jack is, he's wrong. He's just flat out wrong. Right now, the index market represents 17%. Of all the mutual fund investments out there. That is a
That means still there's over 80% of the money is still actively managed.
Managed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that really bothers me about a lot of his comments is they don't really have anything to do with the government regulating it. They don't really even have anything to do with them not performing well, because he knows as well as anyone that the indexes will perform like the market performs. The market performs like the market. It always will perform like the market. Jack's big beef is corporate governance.
Exactly.
That's his complaint.
By the way,
it's spurious.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, there's been some great, I really don't know Vanguard as well, because we don't use them on the equity, the stock side. But we do use dimensional funds, and their work on the corporate governance part is phenomenal. They work very hard on the companies that they own. They're active. They're not like shorting stuff. They're not doing stuff like that, but they are paying close attention.
No, but they actively vote. They
actively
vote,
and they're involved. So here's my overall take when Jack Bogle writes stuff like this. He needs to stick to his knitting. I think honestly, in my heart of hearts, it's one of those things where people say, you really should write more about da, da, da. And I don't think he needs to. So, but I guess still, Mike, pardon me, the question would be, what would you do as an alternative, for example?
Well, and one other thing I want to add. His comments were criticized based on his misleading information. The New York Times criticized his use of lies, damn lies, and statistics. He showed a chart of the growth of the index fund market, but it was a chart that was 8% scale, not 100% scale.
Yeah, it's kind of weird the way it
So it looked like that index funds had taken over the world when they've only gone from 0% in the 70s, early 70s, to 17%. Today, we're talking 45 years later, and they've only gone from 1 to 17. That's not exactly taken over the world.
We're still okay with index funds, Mike. I think most people should be as well. So thank you for your call. Thank you for coming to see me. Happy holidays.
Yeah, and thanks so much for the call. It was a great one. 855-935-TALK is our number. We'll be back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
You've heard that about 99% of all financial advisors are not always required to act in your best interest. You've probably been pitched financial products by all manner of friends and relatives, and the investing you have done is probably a hodgepodge of ill-fitting pieces that are doing little to provide the financial security you need. If you're looking for a 100% pure fiduciary, and we'll put that in writing, low-cost, fee-only advisor who always puts you first, give Vestory a call at 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004, or visit us online at vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I just got a text from somebody about you. Oh, I give phone number 855-935-TALK.
About me?
Yeah, because your voice is kind of doing a weird, you sound kind of weird. So somebody just wrote and said, Don McDonald.
Yep. Your daughter, because I'm in on the text.
More machine than man.
I'm in on the text. It's a group text.
I see. Well, I wouldn't know that.
It says Don and Kelsey. I'm watching.
That would have taken me
so
a long time.
So be careful what you say.
I'm glad you told. Oh, who else is on this, by the way? I need to know. Anyway.
It's you and me, I think, and her. I just found something during the break. Yeah. By the way, the number 855-935-TALK. There was an article that Think Advisor did with John Bogle a day before he wrote that piece. It's very interesting. He says in this piece, in this interview with Think Advisor, he believes that RIAs are the future. Registered investment advisors, fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisors, are the future of investing. He believes that the brokerage business is on its way out, that commissions are falling, and that index funds are inevitably, by the way, index funds are the result of good RIA decisions. Because
an RIA really has to use index funds because if you're going to put the client's interest first, you can't really pick an actively managed fund anyway. Really?
He goes on to say, the interviewer says, so what do you advise people to do in this very volatile market? And he goes, stay the course.
Yeah. Right.
Stay invested. But this line, and this has nothing to do with this, but this was kind of curious. This is a transcript of the interview, and near the end of the interview, I don't want to misquote it.
No.
He was asked, do you have any financial interest in Vanguard now?
Good question.
His response, listen to this. No, none. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, that's odd. I mean, he's had his little things with Vanguard. You remember when they kind of kicked him to the curb? But I think he still goes to work somewhere near the campus or on the campus.
That
or
almost
close.
Feels like he odd. Doth protest too much.
I agree. That's kind of an odd.
Wow. I just thought that was interesting.
But back to Mike's call, which I think is I would still use index funds. I mean, could you use exchange traded funds? Sure. Are they built a little bit differently?
Bogle, by the way,
he hates ETFs.
He hates exchange traded funds
because people trade them. He thinks then you can wake up in the morning, the S&P's down, I got to get out of that. The S&P's up, he thinks that, and he's probably right, by the way. But
right, because another thing that index funds do are mutual funds. Open-end mutual funds only price themselves at the end of the trading day.
Yeah.
It gives you this several-hour
cool-down
window.
cool-down
period. Exactly. It's a cool-down period.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this is inside baseball. Use index funds. Keep your costs low. Have the right asset allocation.
I think, I got to tell you, I think a lot of people are being bombarded with information to the contrary. A lot of stockbrokers are going to use this Jack Bogle story
in many ways he won't like
to say, well, look, Jack Bogle at Vanguard says that index funds are dangerous, which is not what he said.
No.
Read it. Read it. Don't listen to someone else's interpretation of the piece. He basically says he thinks they might become dangerous because no one is voting their interests in the companies. Because
you
remember, shareholders own the companies. They elect the boards of directors.
Yeah, so what he's really saying is these humongous index funds own XYZ percentage of large companies, and they're not being involved in those companies the way other large shareholders may be.
You know, right? But for those who are interested in the details of this corporate governance issue, you did raise a good point about dimensional funds and their emphasis on responsible corporate governance. Maybe we could, in Real Investing Journal, or on a future show.
Yeah.
But maybe for Real Investing Journal, because it gets more, as you said, in the weeds, we could do a piece that explains their corporate governance philosophy and how they implement that in a way that's good for business and good for the economy and good for the shareholders.
I'm writing it down right now.
Good idea.
Yeah.
855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. One of the things I wanted to touch on today, and we touched on it last week, because I got sort of a snooty note from somebody telling me that I was wrong about Bitcoin, which, of course, Bitcoin people are going to tell me because they've lost almost all their money if they got in last December.
Oh, goodness.
They've lost 80% of their money. But here's another crypto fiend who wrote me a note saying... The Wall Street Journal podcast had an episode called "Ohio Allows Businesses to Pay Taxes with Bitcoin."
Oh, I saw that headline somewhere, but I couldn't remember where it was.
Well, turns out the state treasurer of Ohio allowed the state treasurer's office to accept Bitcoin. Small businesses can pay in Bitcoin, and the state receives dollars. It uses a transaction portal called BitPay. She says, it's very interesting. I'm responding to your podcast where you guys doubted the legitimacy of Bitcoin because we cannot pay taxes with it. Just wanted to give you a heads up on this new information, and we'd like your thoughts. You know, I got to tell you, my thoughts don't change just because
state... Well, you're old. Your brain is sort of frozen in place, right?
Well, plus, I just don't... It can't be... As a matter of fact, the most interesting thing is that there are new Bitcoin-like currencies, cryptocurrencies, that to keep them more stable are now being backed by actual currency.
Well
wait
a minute. That sort
You're
of
backing
defeats
your
the
Bitcoin.
Purpose, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
They're
okay.
Using the dollar or the euro or the pound or the yen to backstop their cryptocurrencies. But aren't those fiat currencies against which you rail?
Yeah. Okay. So all we have to do is go to Ohio, start a small business, and we can pay in Bitcoin.
Let's say I got a bunch of Bitcoin earlier this year, and I paid, I don't know, $10,000, $12,000 a Bitcoin.
Gosh.
And my taxes are due, and I'm paying them to the state. I'm getting $3,800.
Yeah.
I just lost a fortune by paying you guys in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it sounded great.
The state didn't lose anything.
Nope.
They immediately converted to dollars.
Probably in seconds.
That's why it's not a currency, folks.
Well.
Currencies, the only currencies that can go that far afield are currencies that have no trust. Apparently that shows a lack of trust in Bitcoin when it can go from $20,000 to $3,800.
By the way, if you love Bitcoin, I've got another currency from the 1930s. I think it was in Tenino, wooden nickels from Tenino. I think you could still use those.
Oh, I thought you were going to the Reichsmark.
I got a bunch of that buried in the basement.
I got a wheelbarrow at Reichsmark.
Exactly. Buy you a loaf of bread. No, wooden nickels. I mean, it's... go ahead, bombard us with the texts and the emails.
They will, and that's okay, because I'm going to stick to my guns.
Yeah, all right.
currency should not be volatile. This is
not
too
that volatile.
Yeah,
not that volatile.
It should not be this volatile. And it's not an investment because it cannot create wealth. It's just not anything at this point. The blockchain technology absolutely makes great sense. It's just the products generated by it don't yet. And so many of them are outright scams.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just as there are basic laws that govern our physical world called physics with a PH, there are also basic rules and concepts that impact our finances and investments. I call them financial physics with an F. In fact, 8 years ago, I wrote a book about them. For years, I've wanted to create an interactive version of that book to help readers better understand the concepts. So, since it was time for an update, I turned Financial Physics, with an F, into a special interactive multimedia version only on iBooks. It's the only platform that allows that. Because I want everyone to have access to this information, I decided to give this version away. Yes, it's totally free. So, if you have a compatible Apple device, go get your copy of the new interactive book, Financial Physics, on iBooks. It's totally free and it's available right now in the iBooks store.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And before we go on, I want to apologize. If you were one of the folks accosted outside of Bellevue Square by a man in a red sweater and a girl in a red hat. I just want to apologize for his rudeness when he shouted at you. Oh, you could buy that, but you can't afford these poor people? Oh, fine.
Go on into Nordstrom.
Yeah,
you know what?
Fine.
It's interesting to do that. You do learn a lot about people. I mean, it's fascinating because there was one woman who was a elementary school principal. She had a bag full of money. She came over. She goes, you know, people in school sometimes leave money here, and I keep it, and then I take it out and give it to a charity, and thank you guys here's the money. Now, it's fascinating to think if that was sitting around all year, that something else could happen to that. I mean, that to me said a lot about her character. They had another woman who was carrying two coffees and a huge Nordstrom bag. She walks about 6 feet past us and goes, I really want to give something. And then she walks for another 2 feet. She stopped. She turned around, set everything down, got the money out, put it in. I mean, so it's fascinating.
She could have gone, Aria, here's my purse. Open it up.
Go
inside and take what you need.
Yeah, so it was great, you know, and I ran.
So how many thousands of dollars did you raise for the Salvation Army?
A couple hundred bucks in an
good
hour
job.
And 20 minutes or something. So it's good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Wow,
I saw somebody
I went to
college with 40 years ago.
You should do that year round. That's more than you make as as working your job.
You're killing me now. I'll take up next Saturday. Thanks a lot. So
855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. We talk a lot on this show about two things: funding your retirement. We think there are really two primary things that are critical for you to do. One, fund your retirement. That's number one with a bullet. Two, help your kids or grandkids get a great education so that they can have a better life. Those two things we think are critically important. And one of the ways you do that for kids or grandkids is to set up a 529 plan for them.
And for the life of me, I still have trouble understanding why people set money aside that's not, if the money's intended for education, that's not in a 529. Remember, if you just put money into a brokerage account, and it grows, hopefully, and you take it out, you have to pay tax on that. If you do it in a 529 plan, it grows, the money comes out to pay for college-related expenses, and you do not pay tax on it. So I see no reason generally to make that decision. But here's the interesting article we're talking that just came out, the best and worst 529 plans. Thankfully, the one we recommend is on the list.
I was going to say, we love the plan.
Yep.
How did it
do? Utah is one of only four that gets the gold rating. Utah, Illinois, Virginia,
four.
Which I also use, and Nevada. One of four.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Just four in the whole country get
their
top rating.
Nine plans get the silver. By the way, I don't see the great state of Washington on here.
Well, Washington's probably as hard to rate because it just became a 529.
True.
Prior to that, it was a prepaid program.
That's true. You'll be glad to know that your neighbors in the Florida 529 plan are among the five worst plans in the country. North Dakota,
ask me if
Florida,
I'm surprised.
New Jersey.
It's probably
Arkansas.
Run by the woman in Broward County who does elections.
It sounds somewhat similar. High expenses. The county's not very good. Thank you. Nebraska, yeah, Nebraska, which I thought always had a great plan. I thought for a while they used Vanguard or something. It says Vanguard is at using, or pardon me, Nebraska is using TD Ameritrade. They have not caught on. It says with the trend of, and I love this, reducing fees, because fees do matter. And you can still buy. You can still get into a 529 that charges commissions should you wish to do so. Why? I have
absolutely no idea.
Why in the world would you do
that? I know why. Wait. I exactly know why. Oh. It's because the trustees of the state plan are buds with some stockbrokers who work their way in by playing golf and buying them free steak dinners. We've come full circle.
We started with a steak dinner. We're back with a steak dinner.
We did.
And the reason that we like Utah is because the expenses are very low, because the funds they use are very low expenses. Funds, and I think you can get a great, you get an age-based plan there, Don, where the money's managed according to the age of the child. You really don't have anything to do. You put the money in, they take care of it, and then when your child gets to college, you start taking it out. It's absolutely simple, and that's what investing
should be. It's so well done. It's a great, it's at my529.com, and by the way, we don't get a darn thing from them or anybody we mention on the show, period.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
I just recently created a new and massively improved interactive edition of Financial Physics on iBooks, but I don't want to leave out those without an Apple device, although no other platform offers their interactivity. I have, however, created a free static PDF version of Financial Physics with an F that you can get right now at TalkingRealMoney.com. That's TalkingRealMoney.com.
We're talking real money.
In an attempt to kill my robotic voice, I have reset every darn thing there is to reset.
You haven't sounded this good since the late 90s.
It's about time. Actually, yeah, speaking of which, I have all these digital things of me from the late 80s.
We've both been digging around the stuff, finding the old material.
I did not sound as good, I don't think, in the late 80s as I do now.
Oh, okay.
I
wouldn't have said that, by the way.
I sounded more announcerish, I thought.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
You've sounded younger then.
I did sound young. Yeah.
You did.
Well,
you did.
Let's see. 88. I was, younger.
Yeah.
About 30 years younger.
Let's just leave it at that.
30 years.
Well, we're going to go
younger.
There. Do you remember the time that I came and visited you when you had the national show? And I came to Colorado and we did the...
660 Garden of the Gods.
I tell you why it's a funny story, because I went to your home. It was like you did the show like in the evenings, I think, or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I go to his place.
9 to midnight.
Yeah, okay. I go to his place. We're having a nice dinner, a couple glasses of wine. He said, you're going to come with me down to the studio. Oh, sure. I owned a radio station at the time. Sure, I'll come down. I go down to the studio and he goes, you get that microphone over there. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, well, you may as well be on the show. You're here. You're a radio guy. I was like,
yeah, I figured you could handle it.
Add a couple glasses of wine. And then somebody called and wanted to know sort of the economics of owning a radio station or something.
And who better to answer it than
you?
Yeah,
and then trust me, that's not the question I wanted to answer that day either. So,
really?
Nor today, for that matter. But at any rate, that was
How did that go for you, that radio station?
Glad the profession I'm in now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, so, indeed. Yeah, no radio stations to own. 855-935-8255. Give us a call if you're having an issue in your life that involves money, where maybe you're coming up on the end of the year, you're trying to make some decisions as to where you should be invested for the new year. You have somebody pestering you to buy something, do something, get into something. Before you do it, call us. Well, you can call us after, too, but... I'd prefer you call us before.
And by the way, there's another thing that's changed, not just your voice in the last 30 years, but another thing that's changed in your philosophy. Both of ours,
philosophy has evolved dramatically.
Yeah, it's evolved, but around the advice part, because we both used to believe, and we both used to give the advice, just own these index funds or own these funds and get on with your life. The challenge we find is very few people build portfolios correctly. Very few. I'll say 5%. It's a small number. But it's, here's,
and we see it. We actually see it in real life.
But the bigger one is so few people follow it. So interestingly enough, I just got a call from a guy I've known for almost 20 years. He moved to your state, actually, a number of years ago. He's an engineer, very bright guy, very bright. And
which railroad did he work for?
And so he was asking me about his tax situation. He's already working on, this is how he fine-tuned he is. He's working on his taxes for 2018. And he ran the numbers, and he was freaked out because I'm going to pay more, blah, blah, blah. He'd forgotten that he got to, from his income, subtract his 401k, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the part that matters. I showed him. I tried the two times in the last decade. Just own these funds. Don't mess with it, blah, blah, blah. And I asked him how he's doing with that. And he laughed. He said, yeah, I've been in and out of the market three or four times. And I've done this. Really? Because you take all this in, it's all over you, and you think you got to do something when that's a horrible piece of advice.
I've got a friend from Colorado who I've known forever, who was a radio guy and very bright, and just I cannot convince him that the game playing he does with hot stocks that he hears about from some guy on the golf course, and, you know, he has some winners. He remembers those winners. Sure. They're burned into his memory. He's so proud of them. But he forgets all the times when he lost a fortune on some fly-by-night scheme. And there have been a lot of those, I have another friend who's a doctor here in town. He keeps doing that, getting into a fly-by-night story that somebody tells him at the hospital about something or other. It took forever for me to convince my stepdad, who's a doctor in New York, that he should stop playing the market. It is almost impossible to convince people that they're wrong.
And so if you are willing, and this isn't about us, by the way, but if you're willing to listen to somebody else, and I think you should, frankly, and it shouldn't be the free steak dinner that we talked about an hour and a half ago. It probably shouldn't just be doing a web search about how to invest. That's probably not the best way.
Oh my gosh, that advice is terrible.
I mean, yeah, it's so much of it now. I truly think that finding a fee-only fiduciary, 100%.
Can we just reiterate that? Yeah. Fee-only, not fee-based.
Yeah, not fee-based.
Fee-only.
100% fiduciary, and you can. Where do we send people now to do that? Where's the place they can go look that
Talking
up?
Real Money. Okay. It's right on talkingrealmoney.com.
I told you
everything's there.
It's not just about us. You can find a lot of other, and there's a lot of other great advisors.
You can search for many of the advisors who believe in a very similar philosophy to us. We're not saying we're the only game in town. We are saying that we're a member of a very elite club of very good people who shouldn't lead you astray.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Keeping the podcast breaks as painless as possible is my goal. That's why I want to very quickly tell you about the only magazine I've ever heard of that is 100% real investing all the time. There's no business news, no speculative advice, and certainly no lifestyle stuff. It's called Real Investing Journal. I publish it every quarter, and you can get two full years for only $25 at realinvestingjournal.com. That's realinvestingjournal.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello again. Welcome back to the show. I'm Don McDonald. Give us a call if you've got a question about money matters, because money, well, it matters. 855-935-TALK is our number, 855-935-8255. And by the by, you can call that number anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Tom will answer it. He loves you so much.
Call me Christmas Day afternoon. I won't have to cook for my in-laws. It'd be perfect. Nice long
I don't even know what we're doing Christmas. We've got nobody coming over.
No, we have people coming over, but I don't know.
I got nobody coming over. Yeah. I'm thinking about going somewhere where it snows.
That's a long way from where you are, by the way.
From where I am. All righty. I want to tell you a little story. You talked earlier about how my views have evolved over time.
Yes.
You know, it started out as a stockbroker. I believed what Dean Witter told us, and that was that the analysts, the experts, could help us make better decisions for our clients. They could help us pick the right stocks and the right bonds and the right stuff to be in and to be out of. Tell us when to be in and when to be out. And we would tell our clients that, and we would all make a lot of money. The money part was right. We did make a lot of money. Yeah. The part about knowing what they were doing, not so much.
The clients didn't make very much.
Yeah, then I went into radio, and so I knew that the buying individual stocks thing was scary. But I believed if you did your research, you really did your work, you could still pick great stocks, but I preferred you pick great mutual funds, and I didn't want you paying anybody a commission because I knew how little they worked for that commission. It was mostly about making cold calls and phone calls and not working for the client. So I was a big believer in researching and picking stocks, the Peter Lynch method, getting great mutual funds, the Janus's and the Invesco's of the world.
And you had the Don McDonald newsletter.
I had a newsletter where I help people research these things. And it never once occurred to me until many years later, throughout that whole period, it never once occurred to me, and it should have, that much, if not all, of the occasional great performance that these mutual funds exhibited, or the times when you pick the right stock and you looked flipping brilliant. I remember picking stocks and people going, "Whoa, Don, that was a great pick." I'd be going, "Really? Wow, I didn't know I knew that much." It never occurred to me, and it should have, but my ego stood in the way. My ego.
That's a shocker, but okay, we'll go with it.
That it was luck. That if I picked the right stock, it wasn't because I knew anything. It's just that stocks go up more than they go down. So if you're picking stocks, odds are good, it's going to go up. Luck. Why we need to understand luck as a component, a major component to investing, and maybe factor it out.
Well, luck in just your life. I mean, first of all, you live in the United States of America, most of you. That's
big lucky. Luck of the genetic draw, right there, dude.
Wow. That's we could go on with that, but we're not going to. But the bottom, I mean, because Gene Fama, a guy I actually pretty well trust. I mean,
Gene Fama, by the way, is
a
professor at University of Chicago, won the 2013 Nobel Prize for Economics. Brilliant, brilliant guy who's been studying markets for over 50 years.
Yeah. And he recently pointed out that, as you know, if you come to our classes or read our stuff, we tell you to own small companies and big
ones.
We tell you to own value ones, the crummy firms that are hard to own, and
the
good
currently
ones.
Crummy firms.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Microsoft was one of those crummy firms, and now it's not so crummy.
And it doesn't always work. I mean, this year is pretty, I'm going to apologize. If you became a client on the first day of this year of ours, you've lost almost 5% of your money if you're 100% in stocks.
How many are 100%
not,
in stocks?
I think we have two.
Two out of hundreds.
Yeah. And if you're 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, you've lost 2.5. But Gene points out that all these things that they've gone back and looked at decades of research to show how stocks sort of act, you know, the factors, if you will, of investing, that there's still a 1 of 4 probability that small cap stocks could lose to large caps in any 10-year period. So you may have just picked the wrong. Imagine if you pointed this out earlier in the show. Had you put all the money in the S&P 500 in 2000, by 2009, you were still basically underwater for that decade. That's a long time. And the same thing can happen with small. He also points out that there's a 16% probability that T-bills could do better than stocks in a decade. I mean, think of that. That's a long time. A long time.
Over a decade?
Over a decade.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is this aspect of, there's an aspect of luck to all this that we want to tell you, just invest this way, leave the money, you're going to be okay. And in the long term, I truly do believe that. But in the short term, we have no idea. He has no idea. And he's going to tell you that there's a good chance this will not work for some period of time. For example, international has not worked well for the last few years, as you may know.
But again, international saved you if you were invested half international, half U.S. between 2000 and 2010. It saved you.
It did.
It turned your flat performance into about a 7% gain.
Exactly.
Per year.
Yeah, I know. That's a huge deal that people, they forget about now, because really since the Great Recession, the U.S. has been the place to invest. So it's all about that. You put it there.
Our
a lot
philosophy,
of money.
Our beliefs are so frustrating to most people because most people, most of you listening, want an answer. I want a yes or no, an up or down, a right or wrong. I cannot stand gray. I don't want to hear that you don't know. I want you to tell me the truth. And guess what? Folks, we're telling you the truth. You just don't like it.
You can't handle it.
You can't handle it.
No,
there is only one guarantee that Tom or I will give you. There is one guarantee when it comes to your investments.
Oh, okay.
There's one that I know of when it comes to your investments.
Oh, it'll go down.
They're going to go down at some point. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're invested in anything other than a certificate of deposit at the bank, anything, even a treasury, at some point the value will fall, maybe minutely. But if it's in stocks, dramatically. If it's in Bitcoin, really?
Yeah. Individual equity. I want to go back to 1988 where the nice old lady told you she was going to buy the 30-year U.S. government bond and ended up making, what was it, 9-point-something for every year for 30 years? Are you kidding me?
I've got to peel that call off
really
these hundreds
do.
And hundreds on
That's,
this thing because wow. A woman called me and she said,
I can't decide
whether to get into the 30-year treasury or just go into the short-term stuff and wait for rates to rise before I get in. And I said, do you know they're going to rise?
Yeah.
Well, they've been rising.
Yeah.
Do you know they're going to rise? I don't know.
Mm.
And then I said, but right now you do know that they're at 9.89% on the 30-year treasury. This was in 1988.
Yeah.
Had she bought that, I don't know if she did,
right.
That 30-year treasury, she would have made 10% per year over the past 30 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. How does that compound? I got to do the rule
and
of 72.
It was pretty
that.
Much guaranteed. I mean, the full faith and confidence of the United States government, which has so far been pretty good. Yeah, that's a great story. Yeah, okay. Yeah, pardon me. But, I mean, it's been pretty – and that's a great story. But that – and it's a huge fork in the road. But what we're trying to tell you is
– wow, $100,000 would have turned into $410,000 with zero risk.
Yeah, that's – well, no, I think they might say that's not riskless because T – bills would be riskless. T bonds, there might be an element of risk.
Well, T bonds are riskless in terms of default risk.
Okay.
They're volatility filled, but
correct.
Riskless. If you hold them to maturity, there is no risk.
You have gotten your money.
You have gotten your money in the past. 855. Oh, wait, never mind. We're coming up on the end of the show. I'm going to tell you more about Tom's class when we get back. You don't want to miss it. This is the last one of the year.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Your number one financial goal must be retirement. As we live longer, our need for a substantial retirement nest egg has grown. That's why you must have a plan. And to help you map your route to a brighter future, I created Vestory's Better Retirement Guidebook. And you can get a free PDF copy right now at retirebetterbook.com. It's truly free and there is no obligation. So get your Better Retirement Guidebook now at retirebetterbook.com. RetireBetterBook.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And after we have a class, one of our classes on retirement investing, people are always calling us after going, when's your next one? When's your next one? We don't have a next one for a while. So if you want to go to one of our classes, Tom and Rick Gregorick are teaching a great one. And it's a lot of material in 2 hours. It's called Retirement Freedom. You're going to find out about investing, income generation, and planning the legal part of your life. And tickets are available right now at TalkingRealMoney.com, TalkingRealMoney.com.
That the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.